Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
This is the voice of the American Redoubt. You just tuned into the John Jacob Schmidt Show. Thank you all for joining us. This is a special presentation because, well, this is pre-recorded right now, and I am out of town. I'm speaking right now as you're listening to this, just wrapping up in Chattanooga, Tennessee. This evening, I will be in the Atlanta area. And then tomorrow night, I'll be up in Woodbridge, Virginia, speaking to patriots, talking about disaster communications and being patriots facing the challenges that we face today. So thank you all for listening on our terrestrial stations, 96.5 FM and AM 630 AM. And, of course, all of you outside in occupied territory where I am right now as you're listening to this. Outside the wire, outside the American Redoubt, the safe haven and refuge for God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots. We've got a liberty-loving patriot with us right now that is on the front lines in the fight for our heritage, for truth, for Americanism, and for preserving all that we hold dear. So we're going to get right to it because there's some events that are very disturbing, very troubling for us. If you love freedom, you love common sense, you love truth, and you value our Christian heritage, it is under assault right now. So I want to give all the time that we're able to today to Pastor Sharam Hadian, great friend of mine from Truth in Love Ministries out of right here, Spokane Valley. And he just got done with a speaking tour of his own, and we had some issues. So for those who are not familiar with this situation, please go to Truth in Love or Till Project website. We'll have that linked today from our highlights and resources posting, but some things that happened in South Dakota. So Pastor Sharam Hadian, thank you so much for being with us.
John Jacob, it's great to be back on the show with you. Thanks for having me.
It's an honor, and these are exciting times to live in. And these are, you know, when people say, boy, wouldn't that be something to live in Bible times? You are living in Bible times. It's unfolding right before our eyes. And you had a little bit of excitement. Talk about that. What happened last weekend in South Dakota when you were speaking?
Well, I agree with you. Amen to that. We are in exciting times and draw closer to the coming of the Lord. We were on a five-city and five-night speaking tour starting in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Actually, the excitement happened before we even got there, because about 10 days before, there was a Muslim group from the Islamic center there who had a meeting on hate groups. Our name came up. The organizer of these conferences, Brandon House's name came up, because, John Jacob, I don't know if you know this, but our ministry got added to this Southern Poverty Law Center's list of hate groups just a couple of months ago.
That's a badge of honor.
Yes, exactly. So we take it as a badge of honor. And so we must be doing something right, right? So because of that, this Muslim group had this meeting, invited the media, brings up our names. Now the media runs with it and creates a brouhaha. They say anti-Muslim rally. You know, even this was a Christian conference. Right. It was only advertised to Christians. It was sent to our supporters, to Brandon's supporters. It was not advertised in the paper or in the media. We didn't put an ad and put commercials but the media runs with it. Now we get word halfway through the week that there's going to be protesters. We've got three groups that are going to protest: the mosque, the interfaith group, the pro-refugees group. So Brandon gets hires a couple of off-duty police officers. Because of more sort of backlash, and we started getting some comments like from people Facebooking us, you know, you're not welcome here in Sioux Falls and all this stuff. We hired four. So we get to the event. The protesters line up. The police is there outside. They do their thing. Hey, and we said even to the media, we have no problem with peaceful protests, legal, lawful protests. because this is a free country and we want to value our First Amendment rights. So they're protesting. That's fine. It wasn't that big of a deal other than, you know, the media, of course, didn't cover it very fairly, you know. Beyond that, halfway through the meeting, unbeknownst to us, because at the time Brandon was speaking and I was actually talking to some people, a Muslim man walks into the building. We know this because he actually made 4 videos on Facebook Live.
Right.
And if anybody is tracking recently, John Jacob, you know that a lot of these jihadists, both in carrying out attacks like the Facebook killer just that happened, you know, last, I think, what, a few days ago in America?
Yep.
I remember the guy that killed the old man on Facebook.
Yeah.
We have in Europe a lot of these Muslim gangs who are raping women are putting it on Facebook Live to destroy, not only to traumatize them once, but traumatize them forever.
Right.
It's becoming a mode of operation. So this guy makes the first video in our building. For 40 seconds, he films his Quran. He just quietly sits there and films his Quran. Then he scans the crowd. And you go, why would he film his Quran? Well, oftentimes, if these guys are going to do something, they want the world to know that they're Muslims, that they're devout, fundamental Muslims.
Right.
So in the middle of filming, thank God, one of the police officers there spots this guy, goes to him, kind of interrupts him and says, hey, you can't film. He kind of gets startled. Oh, I'm leaving. He turns around to go. He's asked if he has a weapon, which he says, yes. He's asked his name, which he lies about. He says, my name is John Smith, Muslim. And then he's escorted out from that point. Now, he goes back to his car. Now it gets interesting because he makes a second video in the parking lot where he starts talking about these white, dumb Americans, and they're so afraid, and there's at least 500 people in this conference. So he's naming our conference by name. He's telling you that he's at the conference. Now he says, you want to be scared? Be scared. And he starts brandishing one weapon after another, one from his side holster, one from his ankle holster. So we know he had 2 weapons on him when he came into the building.
Yeah.
He reaches behind the seat, grabs what appears to be an AK-47, reaches behind the seat, grabs another gun with an extended mag that looked like it probably had about 25 rounds in it, reaches behind the seat, grabs his AR-15, reaches under his seat, has boxes of ammunition. We now know later, according to his own Facebook post, that he had 1,200 rounds of ammunition in his vehicle. And according to him on another Facebook post that he just put yesterday, he's got supposedly 25,000 rounds of ammunition. And so this guy does this. And meanwhile, John Jacob, and I don't know if you had a chance to see the video or people can go to, again, tiltproject.com under our media tab. Under videos, they can see the video. They can also go to my Facebook page, Sharam Hadian. We have it there. It's also on worldviewweekend.com.
Yeah, that's, and we're talking about, you're talking about the video of this guy filming himself saying, you better be scared. You better be terrified.
Yeah.
And
every time he pulls a gun, he says, be scared, be scared, be scared. Then he says, be effing, be effing terrified. Then he says, be effing terrified. So he says, be scared 3 times, be terrified twice, while he's brandishing these guns in the parking lot. Now remember, we have no idea this is happening.
Right.
Because this was going on Facebook Live. We weren't told till the end of the conference that these videos were made, because I guess one of the cops there recognized this guy from around town, went to his Facebook page, and that's how they found out that this guy was doing this live. He then makes a 3rd video, still venting and just profanity lace, right?
Yeah.
He pulls away. So we know based on that video that he's on premise, because you can see the hotel in the background. You can see Brandon's motor coach. Then the 4th video, he goes back to his apartment, takes out his gun, takes out his bullets, and starts talking about how, you know, these white people talk about bacon bullets. Well, these are halal bullets. And my FBI contact who looked at the videos actually was as much concerned about the 4th video as the 2nd, because he said, well, that's a direct threat. He's saying basically these are halal bullets and these are for you guys. I mean, how else can you interpret that? So this all happened, and this is April 9th that this happened. To date, this man has not been arrested. Now, based on our pressure, we forwarded these to our contacts in Joint Terrorism Task Force, FBI. The FBI visits him in 24 hours, two agents in person.
Right.
We then found out later that the FBI put out a bulletin for the other cities. Remember, this is the first city in 5 nights. In the other cities, they put out a bulletin, which then local law enforcement gets, And the only way we found out about it is because local law enforcement was showing up at our events going, hey, we heard about this incident. Well, how did you hear about it? From the FBI. So this is all going on. Yet the Sioux Falls Police Department, the Sioux Falls prosecutor, county prosecutor, not only has not charged this man, he was never arrested. He was never even detained. His name was not run. There was no attempt to find out whether at the time, whether he had a legal concealed carry permit, because South Dakota is an open carry, but he was concealed carrying in the building. The building had a policy where no weapons were allowed. So he broke that policy. And then the question is, were these threats? And the police department, the prosecutor, John Jacob, is saying not only did he not do anything wrong, there was no threat made, there was no threat of bodily harm made, but in fact, he was simply exercising his First and Second Amendment right. Wow.
Wow.
And that's where we sit today. That's where we sit today. Now, the question that maybe people are asking is, first of all, and they're probably thinking what I'm thinking, right? Or were you thinking? Well, I'm pretty sure if this was a white militia conservative Christian that had a Bible, goes into a Muslim conference or an LGBT conference or outside an abortion clinic, videotapes with brandishing guns and saying, be scared, be terrified. I'm pretty sure that person would be probably rotting in jail this whole time. And
absolutely,
their guns would have been taken away. And there would have been, you know, this story has gone global. Even the Daily Mail in UK is covering it. But the fact is, the mainstream media didn't touch it. And 2 days ago, the local media in Sioux Falls actually did a report where they let this guy talk on camera, and they basically made him look like the victim. He's like, well, I was mad and I was heartbroken and I had every right and I'd do it again, he says. Nothing has happened to this guy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So guess what? The question we should be asking is why? Why would the local officials appear to be terrified of Islam, appear to be terrified of the media backlash? And so we did some digging, and we found out there could be some very good reasons. First of all, we know that both of the three mosques that are in Sioux Falls, and we know this by fact because we checked county records, are owned by the North American Islamic Trust, which is Muslim Brotherhood. Direct tie.
NAIT.
The North American Islam.
Yes.
NAIT.
Directly affiliated with the Muslim Brotherhood.
Absolutely, without a doubt. That was presented in the 2007 Holy Land Foundation trial. It's in their own explanatory memorandum.
Yeah,
it's a direct tie.
I was going to say, okay, let's stop right there then. For the uninformed listener, what makes that such a significant development that's Muslim Brotherhood tied?
Well, because first of all, the Muslim Brotherhood has been labeled, even in the countries like United Arab Emirates and Egypt, as being terrorist organizations. The Muslim Brotherhood started Hamas, which is a terrorist organization.
Yes.
The Muslim Brotherhood has carried out numerous attacks across the world that are terrorist attacks, including in Egypt, which is, remember, they were the ones who tried to overthrow Egypt and Hosni Mubarak. Well, they did overthrow him, but they were trying to set up a Sharia government in Egypt with our help of Mr. Obama before el-Sisi and the military took it back.
Yes.
The counterterrorism experts will tell you, those who understand what they're doing, will tell you that the Muslim Brotherhood is the most premier Islamic supremacist organization in the world. That the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood, Hassan al-Banna, in 1928, there's plenty of writings from him that says, our goal is to establish a global caliphate under the Sharia. And their own creed says, number one, that Allah is their objective, the Quran is their law, jihad is their way, and death for the sake of Allah is their highest aspiration. And one more piece of evidence, the explanatory memorandum, John Jacob, that was discovered by the FBI in 2004, they have it's their playbook. And on page 7 is their mission statement, which clearly says that their goal is to sabotage from within our miserable house and eliminate and destroy America from within using our hands and the hands of the believers.
Yes.
So their own documentation tells us that this is a supremacist organization that wants to overthrow our nation, overthrow America, and establish a Sharia-compliant nation. And these are the ones who are owning these mosques. And remember, it was the mosque that protested us. Imam of this. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, this is the enemy within that we took an oath to defend our Constitution and the United States from. And here they are, plain as day.
Their express purpose is the establishment of Sharia law. This is what they tried to do in Egypt after the 2011 overthrow of Hosni Mubarak. This is what they've tried to do in Syria. There's a Syrian wing of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yes.
This is what they're trying to do in other countries. And we know that according to the explanatory memorandum, they say that the Islamic centers, they went as far as say, don't call them mosques now. Let's call them Islamic centers because it's a nicer sounding name.
Exactly.
That's the epicenter of their activity.
Islamic community centers. That music right there, means we got to take a break. So just sit tight. We're with Pastor Shahram Haidian talking about the most recent, very real Islamic threat against him and another pastor as they were trying to speak the truth in love, coming under attack for it. And our government and the prosecutor refuses to do anything about it. That and more when we come back here at the Voice of the American Redoubt.
If there is any hope of restoring America, we cannot, as a free people, allow ourselves to be divided. Division is what the destroyers of liberty are counting on, and if that means, as a last resort, preserving those American ideals within the boundaries of the American Redoubt, there must be unity among the patriots. We must all hang together, or assuredly we shall all hang separately. That's what Benjamin Franklin said, and that's what I say too. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
The Voice of the American Redoubt. Radio. Free. Redoubt.
And we're back. This is Radio Free Redoubt, segment two, which is brought to you by RiverfrontSuites.com. If you need to get away, you need to go to beautiful St. Mary's, Idaho. Riverfront Suites is the hideaway that you're looking for, featuring seven furnished suites less than 50 yards from the river dock. So check them out today, RiverfrontSuites.com. We are talking to Pastor Shahram Haidian about the very real threat of Islam to our way of life, to our heritage, everything that we value and stand for. Last weekend, if you're just joining us now, we were talking about a Muslim sitting in his car with multiple weapons, a small arsenal, if you will, at least 1,200 rounds of ammunition, saying on Facebook Live, outside of this Christian conference where Pastor Shahram was speaking, after having left the building and being interrupted by security, which were off-duty police officers, and he says, no, I was just leaving. Goes out to his car and continues making YouTube or Facebook Live videos saying, you better be afraid. You better be terrified. As he's demonstrating or showing these weapons, brandishing these combat rifles and handguns. So, Pastor Shahram Haidian, thanks for being with us and sticking with us through the break.
Great to be back with you. Absolutely.
Okay, and just in the last probably about 7 or 8 minutes, I also want to recap. The prosecutor refuses to do anything. Let me ask you this. Have you spoken with anybody in law enforcement there that would, I guess, let me ask you this. Why didn't they just go and arrest him? You don't have to have a prosecutor saying, yeah, I'm going to press charges on this guy. When you have a crime, you could easily articulate this was a felony, that you make the arrest, get the guy off the street, confiscate the firearms for evidence, and then the prosecutor can decide whether or not to pursue charges.
Absolutely. But we know now what happened, John Jacob, because the next day, Brandon House, again, who was leading up the conference, called the Sioux Falls Police Department to file his complaint. And he was told, this is within less than 24 hours, that the prosecutor had already looked at the evidence and refuses to press charges. Therefore, we're not going to even take your complaint. Think about that. And wow. then, but because he brought pressure from above, because also at the meeting were two state legislators who were in the room, plus 500 people, including women and children.
Have you been corresponding with them?
Sorry?
Have you been corresponding with them? Are they on board with you? And
absolutely. In fact, good. The one legislator, he's now our legal counsel there dealing with this stuff.
Nice.
And he's friends with the attorney general. So we're trying to put pressure on the South Dakota attorney general who's running for governor. He's supposed to be a Republican. He's supposed to be conservative. We'll see. But we're putting pressure on him because the attorney general, as the chief law enforcement officer of the state, could do something. But my point is, the reason the police didn't charge him, because you know it was a political decision. You're absolutely right. As a former police officer, I can tell you that they would have easily, watching the video, had probable cause. In fact, we had police in Green Bay. We had police in Madison. We had police in La Crosse who, when they watched the video, said, if this happened here, we would have arrested him.
Absolutely.
I've had colleagues in the Joint Terrorism Task Force look at the video and say, yeah, we would have more than likely arrested this guy. And then, like you said, leave it up to the jury, leave it up to the prosecutor, but we would have done our job. And yet this is, there's no doubt in my mind, the only explanation is this is a political decision and it's a double standard. And you know how else we know it's a double standard? Here's the interesting quick fact. The state legislator, who's also a lawyer, in fact, has a client who a week before we went there, approximately a week before, 72-year-old man, he was out one day driving somewhere, he gets cut off by this guy. They get into a discussion. The guy threatens him. This man feels threatened. So he basically just shows him his gun. He takes it out of the holster. He doesn't point at him, but he says, look, I have a gun. Leave me alone. I'm scared. Leave me alone. The guy complains to the police, the other guy. This 72-year-old man got arrested, put in prison, and now is facing an aggravated assault charge, which is a felony.
Oh, boy.
And here's the kicker. It's in the same county. It's in the same county as where this guy, this Saudi Arabian Muslim man, lives. And by the way, the reason we know he's Muslim, one, he was where he brought a Quran. Two, he wore a shirt that said, "I'm an American. I'm a Muslim. I open carry. I conceal carry. I don't have a problem with you unless you act stupidly." He says he's a Muslim. His name, he's from Saudi. So there's no doubt this guy's a Muslim.
I mean, right.
That's beyond the pale because we know. But think about that. Double standard. We now have different sets of justice. You got a white 70-year-old man brandishes his gun because he's fearful for his life, gets arrested, is facing aggravated assault. Same county, same prosecutor says not only did this guy, the Muslim, not break the law, he's exercising his First and Second Amendment right. It's beyond the pale of understanding. And so the question is why, right? Why would they be so scared? Well, now as we've done more digging, we know that one, Sioux Falls is a dumping ground for refugees, number one,
yep.
Lutheran Immigration Services. Number two, we know a week before or so, I think it was April 14th, article came out of the local paper in Sioux Falls, a billionaire Saudi prince visits Sioux Falls. There's a big banking industry, the medical industry, that is getting Saudi money being poured into it. Of course, with the refugees, you have federal grant money coming in,
and not to mention you have a prosecutor, which is an elected position, if I'm not mistaken, and
it is.
That requires funds. I mean, there's all kinds of openings for corruption here, you know.
Absolutely,
that kind of money being poured in. Unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, John Jacob, what we've been able to prove with looking at our evidence, as I said earlier, we have a Catholic charity that helps build the mosque, funds the mosque. We have that now, proof. We have, by their own local paper, the Argus Leader, they say this Saudi billionaire came into town, visited with all these elected officials. They're looking at pouring hundreds of millions of dollars into the community, getting firefighter equipment, medical equipment. You have Sioux Falls is apparently a place where they bring a lot of Muslim doctors in to these hospitals. They're bringing these Syrian, Iraqi, various from various Muslim countries, doctors in. So this was all discovered after the fact because either this is cowardice, right? Either these elected officials are scared, they're fearful, they're politically correct, or there's a political motivation. And unfortunately, they're tying the hands of their law enforcement. And don't you think, John Jacob, that this is not only going to embolden this guy, who, by the way, now is staying on Facebook now that his face is plastered across the internet. He's saying, I have nothing to live for. I wanted to get attention. So now it makes him even more dangerous because
yes.
How many times does the FBI have to tell us after a jihadi attack that kills Americans, well, we contacted these people, we knew, but we couldn't hold them. We couldn't arrest them.
Right.
I mean,
we've been watching this guy for 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is going public with this story is not good for us. I now have to have even more security. I have to be more concerned about my family.
Yeah.
Brandon's got to be more concerned about his family. This isn't good for us. We felt so compelled that we had to go public with it. By the way, we didn't go public with this until we got off the road because we were concerned about the other cities
yes.
and putting the lives of other people coming to these conferences at risk. But we went public because we said, if something happens and this guy goes and does something, and we've had many law enforcement look at it and say, this guy's unhinged, this guy's unstable,
yep.
he's got an arsenal of weapons, and he's got Islamic ideology behind him.
Clearly.
This guy's waiting is a ticking time bomb. And we just couldn't live with that. I told my family, I can't live with the fact that this guy goes and does something and we didn't warn the public. We have to do our part.
Absolutely. Pastor Sharam, we are out of time. If you could just quickly get your website out there where people can learn more about your ministry and the work that you're doing quickly.
You got it. It's TILproject.com, TILproject.com. Folks, let's not let our Christian voice be silenced, our right of assembly. We can't let this stand. They're trying to shut us down, and we can't let it happen.
Amen to that. Thank you so much for being with us. God bless you and your family. Maybe continue to show you favor. Thank you for all your work. Pastor Sharam Hadian. This is Radio Free Redoubt. Join us tomorrow night at 8 p.m. for our weekly podcast. Got another special presentation coming up then. Don't miss it. God bless.